I think roller derby is a hopeful thing.
He earned enough money from selling plants that he paid off the mortgage on his house.
People always want to know, is that a lie or is that the truth?
I completely disassembled this Triumph TR6.
I wished I could have been a professional woman soccer player.
I'm Martha Woodruff, and this is The Spark, an exploration of interesting people doing interesting things. Poet Linda Dove told me about McGackiesville's Scott Price. Scott became part of her poetry group after an injury ended his 20-plus year Army career. As a child, Scott Price lived overseas a lot as part of a military family.
So when I was six, I realized I knew I wanted to be a soldier. It's really, really kind of odd, and I can't tell you why or anything. I just knew at that point forward.
Army soldier.
I knew I wanted to be an Army soldier and never really strayed off of that path. And so when I was 17, I discovered the National Guard, which was, part-time soldiers. Do the 1 week in a month, 2 weeks in the summer kind of thing. I was like, hey, let's do this for a couple years and maybe through college before I go active duty. So a month after my 17th birthday, my parents signed off for me and I enlisted. Then I went off to basic training after my junior year in high school, came back for my senior year, still doing the 1 week in a month. Then went to my advanced training after my senior year. So while everybody else was going to beach week, I went back to Fort Benning, Georgia.
Do you know why? Well, do you know what in you wanted to do this?
I think it was service. I came from the family history of that was a big part of it. I think part of it's also a sense of adventure and wanting to test yourself as part of it as well. And I loved America, right? So that what a great way to be of service to your country, to be a soldier.
In 2004, Scott Price, now a captain in the National Guard, was deployed with his unit to Afghanistan.
Let me start with this. I didn't experience the worst that war had to offer. I think when people think use the word combat, they have that Saving Private Ryan, D-Day, Omaha Beach sort of thing in their mind. And this war wasn't like that for the most part, at least not in my experience or the experience of many people. It was this long, degrading struggle of time, boredom, and the unexpected. Very rarely in Afghanistan in 04 and 05 when I was there, were there any major battles. It was all these little, small, piddly little things, but it was happening all the time. But back here in the States, it wasn't the big news story because Iraq was really big time at that point.
When you were over there, I liked that choice of the word degrading.
Right.
Was that on, what was degrading?
So it's like you're in the medical world, we're starting to see more about this concept of chronic inflammation, right? Where there's just all these things in the body that it's just slowly, the stress builds up over time and it just destroys the body's ability to defend itself. So the same thing happens to soldiers over there and contractors. It's just this low-grade, constant stress mixed with massive boredom and periods of intense adrenaline. And you don't really know when that's going to turn on or turn off. So you're just having to sort of get through it constantly. And the soldiers, a lot of the soldiers I was with had just the things they did was just unbelievable. The guard shifts that they would have to pull, 12 hours on duty, not counting what they did before to get ready for it, the hour and a half before to get ready, then 12 hours on guard duty, then another hour and a half to sort of come back and relax. And then when they weren't doing that, they were getting ready for some other missions because that was a part of it, was the perimeter security, the guarding of the bases. But we also had this dual responsibility to be the quick reaction force for the whole command. So we had a bunch of guys that were basically living on the flight line for 7 days at a time, couldn't go more than a couple hundred meters away from it because if something happened, they had to be able to fully plan the mission and launch within 30 minutes. And this next group of guys was going to come in and launch 30 minutes later. So that's pretty stressful.
Did you have any time when you thought this is downtime, I am relaxed?
Not me. Well, of course you had to carve out some of it, but being the commander of that group, I had to be on radio call pretty much every time, anywhere. And we had a little board so that everywhere I went, I had a radio. And then I would say, hey, I'm going to this location. So should you need me, that's where I'm going to be. So you do find time to relax. but it's never like the Sunday I just had yesterday at home. You know, it was beautiful and relaxing, no stress, no worries, and just really at peace.
You went to VMI. Was the actual war experience anything like you expected?
Well, I think we saw our first sort of hint of it in Vietnam, right? Where it was these, we had our different bases. Our guys would go out from the bases and they'd retreat back to the bases. There was never this sort of World War II. We were moving forward, taking territory, retaining it. So it's this asymmetrical warfare where you don't know if the person that you just talked to about digging a well in their village is going to try to blow you up later. The terrain in Afghanistan is very arduous. So we don't really have a concept here of really how difficult it is to move around that country. That's part of why it's never really been conquered ever since Alexander the Great. It's just very, very tribal, very mountainous. So we would have, you know, most of the times one road in, one road out. That's why so much of our activity was via helicopter, because it's the only way to get in. So if you only have one road in and one road out, everybody knows that. So if they see the Americans come in, they know they have to come back out that way. So if they want to do harm, they can do it on the way out. And that happened a couple of times. In fact, that's how our first couple of guys got killed. There was only that one way in. They'd already pre-planted a bomb. So they go interface with the village, trying to do what we're supposed to be doing. And then on the way out, it goes off. I never thought I would be a veteran. I thought I was going to be a soldier forever, yeah. Right? That was what I thought I was born to do. I thought I was pretty good at it. And I thought I was just going to keep doing it, just keep going until I couldn't anymore.
You say you were pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? I'm not a soldier. What does it mean to be a good soldier? Mm.
Taking care of your soldiers, whoever you've been given. To me, it was a sacred duty to lead other soldiers. Then I became a captain. That's when I was in Afghanistan, commanded a company there, and then eventually became a major. Yep. So in Afghanistan, it was anywhere from 130 to about 275, depending on the mission.
What made you get out?
I had a bad back injury that required surgery up at Walter Reed, and surgery went fine. Everything was going great. But then something just started not being right. And
Physically, mentally? Physically.
It was just the pain was coming back. It didn't make any sense. But of course, me being stubborn, I didn't want to admit that. I'm like, it'll be fine. I just rub some dirt on it type of thing. And it was eventually my wife who's like, I'm taking you to the hospital. And they took me in, been about 11 days there before they figured out an infection had set in. And the put in a PICC line, which is a permanently inserted catheter. And so twice a day, putting this heavy duty antibiotics in there to kill that. And that went on for about 40 days until my body had a massive reaction to it and they withdrew it from it, but it killed the infection. The challenge that I faced then at that point is it had done such damage to my body that I was completely crumpled over. I had to use a cane to walk around for a year and a half. Wow. Going to physical therapy, either water-based or land-based, pretty much every day for that time period. And it was during this time that I slowly started to realize I'm never going to walk normally again. I'm always going to be in pain. And my self-confidence and my identity slowly slipped away. And my life just, it ended. You know, I wanted to, quite frankly, die. I just didn't want to kill myself.
Next week on The Spark, I'll talk with veteran Scott Price about healing and about poetry. Yeah.